Turning today to Psalm number 84. And in this psalm, there is a title to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a wail. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll seek the Lord in prayer as we come to consider his word today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for this particular psalm. We thank thee for the many truths contained within it, for the many applications we can make to our own circumstances and situation. And we pray today that thou will bless thy word to our hearts. We pray for all who will listen, for all who will watch, for all who will tune in. We pray that thy word may be profitable to every soul. We thank thee that all of the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us and for our spiritual well-being. And so we pray that thou will speak to hearts this day through thy word. We ask today that thy word will have free course and be glorified. We pray again that thou will meet every need of body and of mind, as well as of soul, every individual that needs comfort, every individual that needs a touch even in the body. We pray that thou will meet those needs. And so come now and bless the going forth of thy word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few months have changed so many things we have all been familiar with week by week in life. At the beginning of this year, we would never have expected to be in a situation where, for example, we could not visit people in hospital or at home, where many workplaces would be closed down, and of course where we could not meet together in the house of God for public worship. And I trust that through all that has happened, that we will place greater value on being able to meet together in the house of God for public worship. While we are thankful for the means of technology and being able to watch or listen to the preaching of God's word from our own homes and even to join in live services, there is nothing to compare with being able to come together and assemble in the public place of worship. It is true that we can worship God anywhere, and of course there are always some who are not able to come to the public place of worship because of age, because of infirmity. And yet it is God's purpose, as long as we are able, that we assemble together to worship him collectively. That is why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18 and the verse 20, that where the two or three are gathered together in his name, that there he is in the midst. We also note the words of Hebrews 10 and 25, exhorting us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As you read the Psalms, you will find there were times when the psalmist was cut off from the public place of worship in his day, and he longed to be there again. Psalm 63 is one such psalm related to David being in the wilderness of Judah. And there he revealed that his soul thirsted for God, to see his power and glory as he had seen the Lord in the sanctuary, in the public place of worship. This Psalm 84 that we have read today reveals to us another time when the psalmist was not able to be in the public place of worship. And so he addressed God in the light of such circumstances. And I want us, as we come to this psalm today, to consider the value the psalmist placed on the public place of worship. And the first thing we note is his desire to be at public worship. In the opening verse of the psalm, the psalmist expressed how amiable or lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. While, of course, in his day there was one tabernacle for public worship before the temple was built, the tabernacle itself was divided up into different parts. And so he speaks of tabernacles in the plural here in Psalm 84 and the opening verse. And as we go into verse 2 of the psalm, we find the psalmist declaring his desire to be in the public assembly of the people of God for worship. Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. There was this longing in his soul, this intense desire. When we think of the word he uses, my soul longeth, over in the book of Genesis, chapter 31 and the verse 30, we read, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, it's Genesis 31 verse 30, and now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, thou sore longest after thy father's house. It's the same intense desire the psalmist had to be in the house of God. My soul longeth. Yea, even fainteth. He had come to an end of himself in his intense desire to be in the courts of the Lord, the public place of worship. It affected him body and soul. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. While he knew he could commune with God in his case where he was, and in any other place, yet there was that longing desire to be in the public place of worship, to assemble with others. While we are to worship God at home every day, our private worship and even family worship, and while for some months now, for all of us, our worship on the Lord's Day has been at home, we ought always, as long as we have the health and strength to do so, to desire to be in the public place of worship. I know there are some who would love to gather in the public place of worship, but age and infirmity prevents them, and even more in the current circumstances. But there are many others who seem to place no value on the public place of worship. We think of the Lord Jesus as we consider the record of his life in the Gospels. He set a great example of being in the public place of worship. Remember in Luke 2, verses 41 to 52, Mary and Joseph took the Lord Jesus as a boy of 12 years old to Jerusalem for the Passover. And as he returned home, the Lord Jesus tarried behind. When Mary and Joseph discovered that the Lord Jesus was not with them, they had to return to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple. And when they spoke to him about that, he declared that he was about his Father's business. In Luke 4, verse 16, we find an occasion during the public ministry of the Lord Jesus that he went into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, and we're told it was his custom to do so. To be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, the public place of worship. There he read from the word of God, and he spoke to the people of how the passage he read from Isaiah was fulfilled in him. We think even of the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22 and 53, when the band came to arrest the Lord Jesus, he said to them, "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me." He was dealing with you in the temple. He was in the public place of worship. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17, having read of how the Lord Jesus drove out of the temple those who were selling the oxen and sheep, and he overturned the tables of the money changers, he said to them, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And when he had done all that, the disciples remembered that it was written, "The seal of thine house hath eaten me up." That was a quotation from Psalm 69 and 9, revealing the holy seal which the Lord Jesus had for his heavenly Father and the worship of him in the public place. Take the time to read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And you will see in the early New Testament church, the people of God showing their desire to assemble for public worship. Acts chapter 2 and the verse 46, speaking of those who had come to know the Lord, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It's speaking of being even in the public place of worship. In Acts 3, verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. He went to the public place of worship. Acts 4, verse 23, when some of the apostles had been let go, having been arrested, they went to their own company. And they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Together they were worshipping the Lord. Acts 5 and the verse 20. Again, on one occasion when the apostles had been imprisoned and they were being released by the angel of the Lord, they were told to go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. We've all the different aspects of public worship, the praying together, the preaching of God's word. And of course, we think of the praising of God as well. And so there's no doubt here, as we think of the desire which the psalmist had here in Psalm 84 to be in the public place of worship, that this is a desire that should be in the hearts of all of the people of God. And we're thankful to God that the time has come now again when we are able to gather in the public place of worship. But not only in this Psalm 84 do we see the desire the psalmist had to be in the public place of worship, we see the delight he had to take part in public worship. Our public worship of God involves singing his praise, praying, the reading and preaching of the word of God, the partaking of the communion feast. Every believer is to take part in public worship, not just the minister. who is leading the worship and preaching. We can all sing praise to God. We can all pray along in our hearts as the minister leads in prayer and as others pray audibly in a midweek service. And as the word is read and preached, we can ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Here in Psalm 84, in verse 4, the psalmist states that those who dwell in the house of God are blessed. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Now, he was probably thinking there of the priests who ministered in the public place of worship and were there continually. But in verse 10, we see his own delight to be in the public place of worship. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. A day in the public place of worship is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He would rather be in a position that many might have thought was very lowly, a doorkeeper in the house of God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, than to be in a place where others might have thought was a higher position, as it were, to be in. Oh, in expressing his delight to be in the public place of worship and take part in that worship, he said in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Hear my prayer. He's involving himself in praying to God. He delights to take part in public worship. In verse 9, he said at the end of the verse, look upon the face of thine anointed. Look upon the face of the mediator, the one through whom we come to thee. In verse 3, he referred to the altar. In verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Of course, there was the altar of sacrifice, which pointed forward to Calvary. There was the altar of incense, thinking of prayer. And of course, when we come to the public place of worship, we approach God on the merits of what Christ has accomplished by the sacrifice of himself. And we approach knowing that the Lord Jesus ever lives to intercede for his people. You know, in verse 12 of the Psalm 84, the psalmist says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. He delighted to have his trust in the Lord. He delighted to be able to worship the Lord. He referred in verse 11 to the Lord God being a sun and a shield, and the Lord giving grace and glory, and no good thing would the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, is he not in all this showing his delight to be able to worship God, and to be able to be even in the public place of worship? Again, as we read through the word of God, we see the delight that people had to take part in the public worship of God, the singing, the praying, the hearing of the reading and preaching of the word, the partaking in the communion feast. And while in these early days of being able to get back into the house of God, some aspects of our worship may not be able to be involved in or expressed in the same way, yet as we think of what is normal in the worship of God, we think of the book of Nehemiah, in the chapter 8 and the verse 1. And there we find in Nehemiah 8 and verse 1, the people, they gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra brought the law before the congregation. And in verse 3, he read therein. The people desired to hear the word of God read to them. In Acts chapter 4, we've already mentioned how after some of the apostles were released, they went to their own company and collectively they prayed. Acts 10 and 33, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, the group were gathered to hear what Peter had to say from the Lord. And what a blessing it is then to to come and delight ourselves in the public place of worship. For every saved sinner someday will gather in glory to praise and worship our God. And we're told there's no need of the temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are the temple thereof. Oh, let me challenge your heart today. Is there a delight in your heart to be able to be in the public place of worship? Are you saved by God's grace today? Can you worship Him in spirit and in truth? Outside of Christ, you can never be in God's family now upon earth and never be in God's heaven. Without salvation, you will be in hell for eternity. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, the Lord Jesus was speaking, you remember, to the woman at the well. And He spoke of how God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And indeed He declared the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I wonder, do you desire to be among that number? As we come to an end of this message, let me exhort you, if you're not saved, to call on the Lord for salvation. You know, the Lord Jesus on one occasion spoke in Matthew 15 verses 7 and 8 of those who He called hypocrites. And He quoted from the prophecy of Isaiah. And He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It's possible to come even to the public place of worship and your heart be far from the Lord. But oh, that we might know what it is to be in the public place of worship and be near to God in our hearts. To have the Lord in our hearts by turning from sin and trusting Him for salvation and then seeking to live close to Him. May we come to appreciate more, through all that has happened in the past days, the value of being in the public place of worship, as long as we are able. And so may God even write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.